Greetings and welcome to the AVOD. I'm Count Vargelon.
I'm DM. I'm really distracted. Sorry.
Joined today by our very special blockbuster guest.
I'm a blockbuster now? Blockbuster, yes. I'm so excited. This is Rob Rector from Film Threat, and I am busting blocks.
Boom. Yes, we are here, of course, to talk about the big movie of the spring. A movie that was supposed to come out back last year, to the point where, and this is true, I was in a discount store, and there were a giant bunch of toys for Godzilla versus Kong being sold off super cheap, because they had, you know, they couldn't stop the ship dates on the toys to get ready for Christmas. But the movie wasn't out yet, so they just went straight to the discount stores.
And that is why behind Count right now, you will see an 8 foot tall fire breathing kaiju. Oh, that's right. We're not streaming this in video, are we?
Darn it. It is not important how many Godzillas I have. Anyway, I'm a big fan of Godzilla. I think I've been clear of that in the past. Before we get there, though, we have some random crap to address. And I want to start off with a TV show that you might not have seen, but I hope you will after you listen to this recommendation. That's how fond I am of this. Are you familiar with Beastars?
No.
Okay.
No.
It is an anime, and it is made by Netflix and some anime company. Didn't pay attention to which one. And I adore it. So basically the premise is, are you familiar with Zootopia?
Yes, absolutely. Okay.
It's basically that. Like, the whole world has anthropomorphic animals running it, and it's just what society is like. It's all set in a high school. The main character is a 17-year-old wolf. And in the first episode, an alpaca gets murdered and eaten by someone, and that is the most illegal thing you can do, because, you know, we live in a polite society now, and carnivores shouldn't be eating people.
So you have to clarify the spelling of this, because I automatically thought you meant Beastars, as in Jerry Seinfeld's B movie.
If only. The word beast, then A-R-S at the end.
Beastars. Got it.
Beastars.
Got it.
And yes, there is a reason for that weird name that I'm not going to get into, because I don't want to spoil the whole thing. But yes, and so the very first episode, an alpaca gets eaten by somebody on school grounds, and so everyone's freaked out, because tensions are always high between carnivores and herbivores kind of run things, because carnivores are all assumed to be, you know, inherently violent, because historically they used to eat herbivores, and let's face it, some still do. And it's all about, like, high school drama, romances, the politics of this world, what crime is like, what the world is like. It's beautifully written, wonderfully performed. I cannot recommend Beastars strongly enough. And there's already a second season made, and it's going to be coming soon. So you can zip through the first 12 episodes in a couple of days. They're half-hour episodes. It's beautiful. It's funny. It's really wonderful. And honestly, I have yet to get tired of the various different-sized animals all hanging out together.
Right.
Like, in the main, it's set around a theater group. And one of the people working the theater group is a giraffe. So he's, like, constantly ducking his head down to get through things and talk to people. It is delightful.
So
it's also
Zootopia that ratchets up the violence and sex a little bit.
Oh, my God, does it ever. I'm not even going to tell you how much it ratchets up the violence and sex.
I have a question about the giraffe.
Please.
His shirt collar, is it down like where the shoulders
it's down at
would
the,
be?
It's down at the chest, and the neck is completely unadorned.
It's a turtleneck.
Right.
You got to remember, these are all anthropomorphized. These are all anthropomorphized animals, so they're not like walking around on four legs and stuff. They all have human-ish
bodies. Although it's just because I saw this. I don't know if it was Twitter or Instagram, but I think the heading was like "serious question here, guys," which is correct, and it's two pictures. It's like a little cartoon dinosaur, and in one of them, his tie is up, like, you know, at the base of, the, or I guess the top of the neck, the base of the skull. And the other one, the tie is down, like, at
it's
the base
at the collar.
Of the neck.
Yeah, no, the correct place, so for like, it as the collar.
But both look correct.
Well, no, but the correct is at the collar. If you were making a turtleneck sweater for a giraffe, it would go all the way up to the top. But in any other circumstance, the collar is the collar. So, yes.
Or just a dickie. No,
he does not wear a turtleneck in this series. But now I hope to God when it becomes winter in season two, we will see that giraffe in a turtleneck. Oh, God, that would be fantastic. Thank you so much for suggesting that. Beastars, it's wonderful. It's produced by Netflix, so no matter what Netflix you're on, you should be able to watch it.
Nice.
All right, next up, I believe Rob has something he wants to discuss.
Yes, I saw a film that was also supposed to be one of those anticipated films, I think of last year, but they just quietly released it with Daisy, what's her name from, God, I'm really selling this, aren't I?
Oh, yeah. Edge of
Daisy
My
Ridley.
Seat.
Daisy Ridley
oh,
and
Daisy
Tom
Ridley.
Holland.
Okay.
And Tom Holland. Chaos Walking.
Okay.
The aptly named Chaos Walking. Or oh, no. Chaos Dragging, really.
Oh, no.
Yes. Well, it was based on apparently a popular, it was, you know, it looks to be the next, like, Hunger Games. It's, you know, another dystopian future. It's called Prentice Town, or it could be Katniss Town, or, you know, Pretentious Town.
Oh.
But they have the sparkle, and is not to be confused with the shining. But the sparkle is...
Shining?
Yes, or the shinning.
Or the
really.
Shinning.
Or the noise. I'm sorry. It's the noise. The sparkle made the noise. And the noise is you can see everyone's thoughts. It's all men. All the women have been killed off. Duh. It is all just men, and their thoughts are verbalized in a vaporous cloud around them.
That sounds terrible.
It sounds really does. And plays out equally as such. I just can't, and perhaps I kept trying to think, okay, maybe this would be okay on paper. Maybe this would be okay as a book, but this is one that just does not translate at all. And it's wretched, and it's directed by Doug Liman, who again, he's hit or miss, but I really enjoy some of his films, but man, it went nowhere. It was ridiculous. I'm shocked that, you know, they had, they also had, Mads Mikkelsen in it too. And, you know, I mean,
I'm going to assume you made Mad Mikkelsen
or Mikkelsen. Yeah, okay. Sorry. Yes. Mads Milkman.
There you go.
Related to Hans Molman.
From, oh, absolutely.
Yes. So it
Damn,
was.
We love him here, so that's really disappointing.
It was disappointing all the way through, and even started Jonas Brother or two or someone in there as well. But it was as equally, you know, if you could imagine how poorly that would be executed, then you're in the right era.
Oof!
Wow!
Chaos.
I would say in that whole giant trend of post-apocalyptic teenagers going through hell. Trend we had. Why yes. did nobody ever make that Stephen King Long Walk movie?
Yeah.
Seems like such an easy thing to, like, Stephen King will sell the rights to anything. He's incredibly well known. Like, yep. He had written this dystopian sci-fi teen thing ages and ages and ages ago, and it's just sitting there for somebody to make into a movie.
Well, there is a movie out there similar called The Human Race.
Okay.
And I think it is essentially The Long Walk.
Okay.
I haven't seen it. I've seen the trailer.
Right. Is this recent-ish?
Sure.
Well, you don't have to lie if it's not recent-ish.
Well, it's like it's this millennium. Let's say okay. that.
Yeah, but I mean, that's just a perfect example of like someone sat on their ass too long in making this Long Walk movie, and then somebody else just went off and did a bootleg version of it. Seems like an oversight where the King people missed out on a chance to make some real money.
Well, I guess just coming from someone who did Edge of Tomorrow, which I personally, I mean, I really love that film.
Yeah.
And coming from him, I was hoping that he'd be able to at least do something that seemed better than any Maze Runner or Fifth Wave or whatever else could, you know, but it was like Jumper
out there.
Yeah.
No, not Jumper.
Yes. It was more, Oof. And he directed Jumper. So it was more like Jumper than Edge of Tomorrow.
Oh, Jumper. A yep. movie about this is, and I know I talk about this whenever it comes up, but it's like, it's so insane that it's like, yeah. it has no idea that it's a movie about a supervillain.
Right.
He's yeah. a supervillain. Well. That's exact. There's literally the X-Men's first villain, like that they ever fought, was a guy called the Vanisher, who was just Jumper.
Yeah.
Just like a guy who teleported to bank vaults and stole all the money. The fact that you don't think of yourself as a bad guy doesn't mean right. you're not a supervillain.
Right, right.
Most supervillains, you basically have to be the Joker to think you're a bad guy. Right? All the other supervillains think they're perfectly justified in robbing banks. But you know what? That doesn't make you a hero. He's not giving the money away. There's a scene at the opening of that movie where he sees a bunch of people about to drown in a flood, and he's like, wow, huh, I could teleport over there and immediately save them. Back to robbing banks.
But I'm not going to do it. Yeah.
I'm exactly. not going to bother. Oh, yep. God, Doug Liman. All right, let's move on.
Yes, please.
Let's move on to a list?
No.
Oh, you have one?
I can't believe you screwed this up.
I did screw this up. You're right.
We just talked about that.
We did. I'm so used to relying on show notes. That's on me. I am. I'm not going to pretend. I'm not going to pretend I'm a hero.
Damn here. You, Skype chat. Damn you. Curses. Foiled again.
Yeah. Our show notes stopped working. That's and it's my fault for not paying closer attention or just making my own show notes. All would have been good options. I didn't do either. Go for it.
It's trivia. This is you.
Trivia first. Yep. You're right.
It's on you.
I know. First off, what actor played Ash in Army of Darkness? Like, do you even have to pretend?
Seriously?
To... Okay. Yeah, let's move on to the second question. The director of Freaks made Todd? What Universal? No, I'm not asking you the name of the director of Freaks.
Oh.
Made what Universal horror movie the previous year?
Dracula?
Wolfman?
Todd Browning made. It was Dracula. Yeah, Todd Browning made Dracula.
Yeah.
In The Invitation, what was the name of the couple's deceased child?
Oh my god, I don't remember.
Jesus Christ.
I liked that movie too.
I liked the end of that movie.
Okay, yeah, you're right. It was a long walk to get to that great ending. Great ending, though.
Fantastic ending.
I have no idea.
Right, I don't know.
I'll just tell you. It was high, apparently.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Yeah, well, you know what? Now I'm not so sad that he died. What is the name of the entity communicating with the youngest Freeling child in Poltergeist?
The what name?
What is the name? What do they call it?
The Poltergeist ghost. is that what we're asking? I'm sorry.
Yeah, the ghost. What do they call the ghost? They have a name for it.
I just remember Carol Ann.
Carol Ann is who they talk to. They call it, the name she calls it is The Beast.
Oh.
Oh. Yeah.
Nope.
I guess that is kind of an obscure part of that movie, but they actually call it
The Beast. It was always just there here. That's,
Beast.
What is the relationship between Papa Jupiter and Ruby in The Hills Have Eyes?
Granddaughter? She's his granddaughter?
I was going to say niece.
I don't know.
Weirdly, youngest daughter.
Young? Oh.
Yeah, both the youngest daughter. Okay. Yeah. In the opening of Suicide Club, how many school children jump in front of that train?
Oh my god, really?
I mean, in the card's defense. All of them? Well, it is all of them, yes. In the defense, like, they do say in the next scene, like, in the broadcast and news, they do talk about how many kids jumped in front. So you didn't have to count.
I don't know. Yeah, I'll say 15.
All right, are you ready to have your mind blown?
Sure.
DM is exactly one half correct.
It's 54. Come on.
I know! Isn't
really?
That one half
54.
Correct.
Jesus Christ.
Alright.
I was so ready to celebrate. That's not nice.
Sorry.
I know.
Right? I did state that in the most unfair way possible. You're absolutely correct. Alright, so let's move on to that list that I shouldn't have queued up earlier.
Oh, right. Okay. Today's list comes to us from The Guardian.
Ooh.
and it is the 20 greatest SmackDown movies ranked.
Oh, I can't wait to find out which is the greatest.
So is it Kramer or Kramer?
We are counting down from 20.
Ooh.
Beginning with Ballistic, X versus Sever.
Oh, good God.
I mean, am I going to claim this is a good movie? No, of course it's not a good movie. It's Ballistic X versus Sever. But I will say...
it's a movie.
There's some fun action on Ballistic X versus Sever. Also, I'm a giant fan of Greg Henry. Greg Henry plays the villain. So, you know, you put those two things together. I didn't hate my time watching Ballistic X versus Sever. It's not much of a movie. It's not very good at all. But I didn't hate watching it at all.
That's
the nicest thing anyone has ever said about Ballistic X versus Sever.
No, yeah. I think I remember enjoying watching the movie. I don't remember anything about the movie. Is there a motorcycle fight?
Motorcycle chase and some fighting around the motorcycles. And there's actually a very funny scene because they have Antonio Banderas actually riding a motorcycle, but like the insurance people would not let Antonio Banderas ride a motorcycle at more than 10 miles an hour for legal reasons and insurance reasons. So it's like every time you see him without the helmet, this is before they could just key out a motorcycle helmet and put in somebody's face, which is how they do it now. So every time, like, you cut back to him, it's actually him riding a motorcycle at, like, really conservative speeds. It's so much fun to watch.
I have the toughest time distinguishing this and Equilibrium because they both came out the same year, I remember. Posters look the same, but they had the same, you know, this neo-noir aesthetic to both of them that
Equilibrium, you know, both... nothing like this movie.
No, but they both screamed Matrix ripoff to
me. Okay. It was a both post Matrix modern martial arts and shooty movies. Yeah. Like,
yes.
I see why you would associate those two. Because the marketing sure as hell did.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, no, you're totally right about that. Okay.
Anyway, I can tell you it has a 0% score on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's insane. It's not that bad. Like it's
not ultra violet bad.
Yeah. No, it's not as bad as Ultraviolet. And it's weird because it's one of those movies that got so much crap because some of it rightly so. It's not a great movie, but it's not the worst movie ever made.
No, it is any, not.
By Antonio Banderas is always engaging. I don't care what he's in. He's always entertaining.
Totally.
Right there with you on that one.
Yeah.
Okay. Number 19, Dracula versus Frankenstein.
Oh, now that's a good movie.
I don't even remember that one.
Haven't seen it.
Saw it when I was a kid. Super fond memories, but I'm sure it wouldn't hold up when I went back.
Was that one shot during the Hays Code, or right prior to the Hays Code?
71.
Yeah. No.
Oh, Hammer. That was a Hammer film. Then.
Yep. Yeah, and it's awesome, but not. I'm sure this is just a child completely misremembering the quality of the movie. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Next up.
Number 18. Sharktopus versus Whale Wolf.
What?
I've
never even heard of that.
Right?
Wait, Sharktopus, what's the one with what's his name? Greg from Brady Bunch and Tiffany and Tiffany and
that's
Debbie Gibson.
Sharktopus. That's Sharktopus.
Oh, no, but Sharktopus
but two
also versed Megalodon.
Yes, but the one you're thinking of, Rob, I think is just Sharktopus.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
It was the first.
No, Mega Piranha. Sharktopus and Mega Piranha.
No, Tiffany is in Sharktopus.
Maybe she's in both?
I thought Tiffany and Debbie Gibson kind of squared off on it.
Or maybe I think of Debbie Gibson who's in Sharktopus. I've seen Sharktopus is the point, and it was the first of these like weird hybrid monsters.
Gotcha. Whale Wolf. Oh my God.
I'm excited to find out more about Whale Wolf, but I have not seen that movie.
Well, here we go. The blurb here answers the question, what is a whale wolf?
It's a whale that got bitten by a werewolf. I think everybody knows what it is.
No, you're wrong.
I'm wrong?
Yes.
What?
It is a man who turns into a cross between a wolf and a whale.
Oh, so it's a man who got bitten by a whale wolf.
So it's Manimal.
Yeah. Basically Manimal, but not as specific as Manimal could be.
Right.
Okay. All right, number 17. Cockneys versus zombies.
I have not seen this.
I've seen this. It was fun.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Not much to say. Just it was fun. Zombie movie.
Mildly entertaining. Gotcha.
Yep. Number 16, Monsters versus Aliens.
What is Monsters versus Aliens?
It's an art animated one. It's an animated.
Oh, okay. Is it any good? It
came from DreamWorks. No. Oh. No, it's immediately forgettable.
That's disappointing.
Yeah, it was Reese Witherspoon. Will Arnett is
I remember this movie now. Okay, yeah. Thank you for it. Once you said Reese Witherspoon, I remember when this happened. And there's like a giant. She plays a giant girl, and there's
exactly.
All right. Okay.
It's an homage to like the 40s, you know,
monster movie
or the 50s monster movies. Exactly.
Yeah, yep. An alien invasion. Okay. Yeah, no, I never saw this because again, it was a kids movie from 10 years ago. Of course, I'm not going to
right. Seen this. Exactly.
Go.
Number 15, Alien versus Predator.
It's not a good movie, but...
No, and the blurb here backs up that statement. Why is it on this list at number 15 if it's not good?
Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's not a particularly good
movie. Maybe it should be the top 20 only SmackDown movies.
That could be right.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, like, is there anything good? Like, I want to try to find something nice to say. Oh, well, no, it's not AVP Requiem. There you go.
Okay.
Which, by the way, for it.
High praise
there
indeed.
Are people out there trying to rehabilitate AVP Requiem and say that it is, you know, a throwback to the... Well, no, but like a... God, thank God, no. No, but like a throwback to the super gross... cruel and violent horror of the 70s, where it's like everything just awful happens to people for no reason. Kind of Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And I'm like, I think you're overthinking it, and it's just a garbage movie. But I have seen people trying to do that, so.
Oh, it's a garbage movie for garbage people, is what it is.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right.
Okay, when Transformers is a little bit too mentally taxing for you,
yeah,
right? You've got AVP.
When not enough pregnant women get torn apart in your Transformers movie, you got AVP. So there you go.
Right.
And you don't have to worry about whether or not you understand AVP because you can't see any of the movie anyway.
Exactly.
Best quiz I ever made.
That was
Rob,
good.
I don't know if you saw this. I made a quiz in my blog. Where I put out 10 screenshots from the movie AVP, and the answer is, which one of them is upside down? And there's no way to tell, because they're all upside down. And
that
you can't tell.
Is awesome. That is awesome.
Yeah, well, it's a pretty good quiz.
All right. I'm taking it.
Yeah, go take the AVP. Inverted cinematography quiz. All right, next up.
Number 14, Strippers versus Werewolves.
I have not seen Strippers versus Werewolves, but I love the title.
Mm-hmm.
It says here, the only reason you should watch this is because it stars pre-Line of Duty Martin Compston.
I don't know what Line of Duty is, so okay.
Either, so like it's lost on us.
I guess this is a British thing.
Okay, number 13. Gamera versus Guiron.
Oh, that's a solid movie.
Yeah.
Again, that's one I remember I have fond memories of. Because, again, I just really like Gamera movies generally.
Yep.
He's a very cool turtle. Really like that guy, so I'm happy one of them made
that
the list.
That one was a latter one, too. That one came out toward the latter part.
Yeah.
Of his 60s.
69.
Yeah. He had a couple before that.
And by the way, the new Gamera movies are amazing. Just putting that out there.
Guardian
they brought
of the
back
Universe.
Gamera movies, and they're fantastic.
Guardian of the Universe, baby. 1995. Love
He's
that
not
one.
Messing around.
Yep.
All right, next up.
Number 12. I don't know if this, I mean, it's a versus movie. I'm not sure if it really qualifies as a SmackDown.
Okay.
The People versus Larry Flint.
Oh, come on. It just has versus in the title.
Oh, it's a SmackDown.
It doesn't make it a SmackDown.
Larry Flint smacks down the U.S. government. You kidding me?
I mean, he does, but...
Well,
okay.
If you consider SmackDown what takes place behind the barn in one... Never mind. You actually have to see.
Well, no, it is fascinating. I mean, it's a great movie. It tells a really interesting story that, like, America came within a hair's breadth of not having the First Amendment anymore.
Exactly.
And only...
And we have Screw Magazine to thank for that.
Yeah, to thank for it. It's like, if there wasn't Larry Flint, America basically wouldn't have a First Amendment anymore. And that's pretty incredible. And it's a really good story, but come on. Best SmackDowns. All right, so
Joe versus the Volcano better be on here then.
If you're right. If they're stretching it that far, they can't not have Joe versus the Volcano. All right, next up.
Number 11. I think this should be higher up the list, but that's just me. Freddy versus Jason.
Oh, I like that movie a lot.
Great movie. So much fun.
Yes. So much fun. Just
and a clear winner.
Time. Oh, yeah. No, Jason won the hell out of that movie.
As he should.
Next up.
Number 10, Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla.
Oh, yeah. That's a very solid movie.
Solid.
I personally prefer The Terror of Mechagodzilla, but that's a really good one too.
Wait, which year was this one? Because there was a redo of this one.
This is 74.
Okay. Because didn't they? Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very solid movie. Next up,
Eagle versus Shark.
Oh yeah. Yep.
Rob has heard of this? I have.
Yeah,
that was Taika Waititi's first film.
It was the guys from Flight of the Condors.
Concords,
yeah.
Really? And Taika Waititi's first film? Nice.
Yeah.
I've never heard of this. Is it amazing?
It's very sweet. Yeah.
Well, I love those guys, so.
Yeah, yeah. And it's you know, all... It's... Jermaine Clement just being his awkward self.
Yeah.
Is this a SmackDown movie, though?
No. In fact, he's probably like one of the nicest guys in the world on this. So I can't, there's no smacking.
Okay. No. So once again, we have been misled.
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
Number 8. I think it's on here because this person just needs a versus movie.
Filler.
Okay.
Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice. Oh,
Jesus Christ.
Again, next. How could that not be? I mean, we're not going to talk about it anymore. We've already talked about it enough, but my only statement is, how is that not last on the list?
Yep.
Come on.
Right.
Not a lot of movies worse than that one. All right.
Nope.
Okay, number 7. Again, not entirely sure what the author is thinking here. Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus. I think this is the one with Debbie Gibson.
There you go. We figured it out.
I feel vindicated.
We finally found Debbie Gibson, which I guess is what we were doing here the whole time.
I mean, that's why we're here.
Yes. And didn't it have, what's his name? Brady. Greg Brady in this one?
All I got is Debbie Gibson. That's all I can tell you.
I know Lorenzo Lamas is in it, and that's all that matters.
He is the Lorenzo Lamiest.
Yes.
All right.
Number 6, Billy the Kid versus Dracula.
That's a very fun movie.
Never saw it.
Oh, no. This
heard of this.
Really? No, it's just like a cute little midnight movie. It used to be played. It's just a fun movie. Dracula shows up in the Wild West. Billy the Kid is like, hey, I'm a criminal in this town. What's with all the murders going on? And, well, you know. Exactly what you think is going to happen.
It was like a 60s movie, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. I think it was a 60s movie.
Yeah.
It says here, this is the only one of John Carradine's films that he regretted.
Oh, my God.
Sounds about right. It's not good, but again, as a kid, I loved it, but I'm sure it won't hold up.
If only he were to see what David would go to produce.
But when you're a kid, like, literally, there was no internet. You had to if you wanted to see movies about Dracula, you just had to watch whatever came on television. And this was on television a lot. All right, go.
All right.
Number 5. And I can't believe I'm going to say this.
Please.
Kramer versus Kramer.
Yes, it actually happens! I mean,
yes.
It's a very good movie about divorce and custody hearings.
Not a SmackDown. Yeah.
Not and a SmackDown George, at all.
And Jerry and... Oh, wait, different Kramer.
Yeah. Different Kramer. Oh, so close, though.
Yes.
Next up.
Once again, you managed to guess what would show up on the list because it's Joe versus the Volcano.
Which is such a good movie.
It is.
But it's not a SmackDown.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Not a SmackDown at all. He barely versus that Volcano. There, I said it.
Ooh. Fighting words.
I know, right? Seriously, though, it's a wonderful movie. Really good. And I actually recently found out that, I believe it's the first Meg Ryan, Tom Hanks movie.
I think it was.
Maybe.
Yeah.
John Candy.
Because they were originally supposed to co-star in Armed and Dangerous. But then Hanks dropped out because Armed and Dangerous' script was so bad that he's just like, I can't make this movie.
Is that a Rodney Dangerfield movie?
No, John Candy. And what happened is he phoned up his good friend Eugene Levy and said, you know who can replace Tom Hanks in this movie? Eugene Levy. And he did.
Yeah.
All right. What's next?
Number 3, King Kong versus Godzilla.
This is one of the Godzilla movies I've never seen.
I just watched it again recently.
Is it any good?
Yes. Yes, okay. It is. It's certainly like middle of the road as far as Godzilla movies are concerned, but I was absolutely entertained by it. And Kong gets the shaft in that one, man.
Really?
He looks like a melted wax. It looks like they took the actual animated one from the 1930s film and just set him in front of a heater for a while.
No. That's terrible.
Oh,
he looks like he's been through the dryer and just, he looks like someone's poor, neglected, stuffed animal. It is bad.
Oh,
it's bad.
So sad.
That's just sad, yeah.
Now, but that said, it was still entertaining.
Okay, good.
And probably more than a little bit racist.
Oh no!
Well, they go to Kong's island some of the tribes. I believe there's blackface involved with some of the.
Oh, okay. You know what? That's all we need. Once we heard that word, I think we're done needing to have it explained any further.
Yeah.
Okay. Next up.
All right, number 2, Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Oh, I like that movie.
I love it.
Me too.
I think it's a fun movie.
I just watched it again recently. Yeah. Great movie.
Yeah. Just a really great run all the way through. Super fun. Really great. I'm one of those jerks who like, well, in a way, I think the comic is better, but I don't care. It's just a really fun movie to watch. Like, great energy. One of Edgar Wright's just most fun movies from beginning to end.
And that's saying a lot because certainly.
It's Edgar Wright. The man is great at this.
Yep.
All right, and what's the number one?
Can you guess? Can you guess the number one versus movie?
That's tough.
According to some guy at The Guardian.
I'm hoping it's going to be
all the big ones we've already talked about.
Mothra? Would it be with Mothra?
Yeah, but I don't think we're only dealing with movies that have versus in the title.
Right, but there's Mothra versus Godzilla.
Was it called Mothra versus Godzilla?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Then I'm completely embarrassed, and let's go with Mothra versus Godzilla, because that is one of the definitive Godzilla movies.
You are correct!
Nice!
Godzilla!
I forgot it was actually called that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Mothra's the best. I think we all know Mothra's the best.
Everybody loves Mothra.
Yeah, she is, like, the best of all the kaijus. Just super friendly, super wonderful. She doesn't like American corporate interests. Like she is the kaiju for today.
And believe it or not, when it was first, I remember when it was first released in the US, it was actually called Godzilla versus the Thing. Like they didn't even give her top billing in it.
That's harsh. Oh. Well, Mothra has, history is on Mothra's side on this.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You shall know her name.
Okay. Oh my god. Yeah, I mean, it's just giant monsters fighting each other. I mean, it's always going to be great, but anytime people verse one another, you know that at least, like, you're guaranteed some interesting conflict out of the movie, which makes me wonder, are they going to keep making horror movies about things versing each other?
Well, I certainly hope so, but I wouldn't know for sure, because this week's upcoming horror movie is called On the Third Day.
Ooh.
My true love gave to me.
She didn't say Christmas.
Oh, okay. All right.
Cecilia and her son embark on a journey. On the third day, she is found wandering alone, not remembering what happened during this time.
Oh, dang.
She is desperately looking for her son and finds herself wrapped in a brutal hunt carried out by a religious fanatic whom she faces off against. To her, he's a lunatic. To him, Celia is the enemy.
Dang.
Hmm.
That could be fun.
Yeah.
Right?
Especially if we end up with a Servants of Twilight type situation. And the the religious guy thinks the kid is their messiah.
Right.
Anybody we know in it or involved?
Well, I don't have a list of who's in it, but I can tell you it's Del Toro Film Studio.
Ooh.
So,
all right. Intrigued
got
me.
Something going for it.
Dang right. Nice. All right,
there
now
was
I'm
a,
very
isn't
curious.
There something with I thought when you said third day, there's a film that Jude Law is like on some kind of, I don't know, it's another cultish. It reminded me of the bees, the Wicker Man.
Okay.
He's on an island with like some eccentric. Yeah, it totally reminds me. It's got that vibe to it. I just saw a trailer for it. I don't know, a year or so ago, but I thought that's what it was referring to.
Interesting. I have not heard of that. I am not familiar with the Jude Law movie, but yeah. I am interested to hear more. All right. Cool. That is kind of cool. And Del Toro, I mean, he has a pretty good record as a producer, so I'd be interested to see how that turns out. For now, though, we're going to move on to talking about what we're really here to talk about, and that is That Time Kong vs. Godzilla.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, Godzilla versus Kong. Here is your synopsis. Should have been titled Kong versus Godzilla.
Yeah. Agreed.
And that's all I got.
It's a very weird movie, right? Because at the same time, like, Godzilla can't help just keep defeating Kong over and over again. Like, whenever Godzilla fights Kong, obviously Godzilla's going to take it. He's Godzilla, and Kong's just a big monkey. You know?
He's an ape, and I cannot tell you how much it bothered me that nobody corrected her.
That was so frustrating.
Stop calling him a monkey.
I know. He's an ape. Do you see a tail? No? He's an ape then. Damn it. This isn't that complicated, people. But anyway. But yeah, it's interesting because Godzilla, you know, obviously can take Kong in a fight. There's no comparison. But it's clearly a story about Kong, and Godzilla's just in it.
This is Kong's movie.
Oh, from beginning to end.
And quite frankly, I don't think I care about his story. I really don't.
Yep.
I'm here for Godzilla, and as it turns out, Mechagodzilla.
Yes, I will say, I am very happy that they left Mechagodzilla out of the promotion.
That was great.
Because surprise.
I didn't know Mechagodzilla was in this movie.
Me neither.
Until like 20 minutes in. When
By the way,
like,
spoilers,
this corporation's
we are
going to
be talking about all of it.
Oh, yes.
Just
I guess we just spoiled the biggest thing. For once, it wasn't me who did it, so yay. But it's like 20 minutes into the movie, the blogger is like, Apex Labs is building something mysterious
blogger,
to deal with
a
Kaiju.
Podcaster.
Oh, yeah,
Christ.
Podcaster. Right? Building something to do with Godzilla. I'm like, oh my god, is this a movie about Mechagodzilla? And it was. And I was very happy. Because, as you know, I love Mechagodzilla.
Not only was I happy with that, but I was equally as happy with how Mechagodzilla is powered. And I don't mean the human part of it.
Yeah.
That, to me, was just so bonkers 80s kind of Bride of Reanimator type shit that I loved.
Got some
it.
Just...
Although, real missed opportunity there at the end.
What do you mean?
Because if Mechagodzilla is powered by residual DNA from King Ghidorah,
Yeah.
How come when it was disconnected from the pilot, it didn't take on any of the aspects of Ghidorah?
Well, it is in a, I mean, it's still in a Godzilla body. Like, it's
but
still.
It could have had some, like, residual Ghidorah. I just feel like more could have been done with that.
I see.
As opposed to just being some massively fucked up Jaeger, because that's what it looked like.
Yeah, it's a giant Godzilla robot powered by the ghost of King Ghidorah, which I think is pretty awesome.
I know it is awesome, but I'm just saying you could have taken it one awesome step further.
I mean, you're not wrong. Like, I'm going to say you're wrong, but that was, to me, that was a great reveal in the movie. It's like, oh yeah, we've got King Ghidorah's ghost here locked up, and I build a cockpit inside King Ghidorah's skull.
I'm not arguing against it. I'm just saying you could have made it.
You could have gone that extra notch. You could have turned it up to 11 is what you're saying.
Right?
Yes.
It's right.
You're not wrong. Yeah. But I think we should be happy for what we got, which is a much crazier movie than I was expecting.
I don't know if we should be, though, because quite honestly, this is two separate stories poorly stitched together to the point where they're actually, like, they are completely separate.
Oh, yeah.
Until the end of the movie, it focuses much too heavily on King Kong, which leads me to believe that that was its own movie.
Yeah.
And we don't get enough of Godzilla. And the way they treat Godzilla in the film, it doesn't treat Godzilla with any of the sort of awe and wonder that I think Godzilla deserves. It's the same criticism I had with Jurassic World, wherein it takes for granted the fact that we've all seen Jurassic Park and there's no wonder left in these dinosaurs. And that simply isn't the case. So when Godzilla just sort of shows up.
Yeah. Right.
And it's like,
on one level, they've created a world where
from the depths of the ocean here to destroy us all.
And it's like, you're right. How blasé have people become that this is just a normal part of their day-to-day life? Every now and then, Godzilla might show up and start trashing things.
So it just bothered me. It's that the film just sort of treats Godzilla like, I don't know, a second-class citizen.
Damn. Well, no, you're right. Like, they're spending a huge amount of time and energy to, like, protect and care for and understand Kong, and none of that going into their relationship with Godzilla at all.
Right.
Do you think it had to do with the fact that because the first two Godzilla films were not received well here stateside, and yet the Kong Skull Island is still kind of the hands-on favorite for most people. So to gently massage
the franchise in Kong.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And perhaps I think we can all agree that there's probably a tremendous amount, and I'm not inciting that we have a Snyder cut of this, but but it seemed like there was a lot left on the cutting room floor of this, and that perhaps either A, you know, overseas it might be a little different, or, you know, B, they said, look, based on the reactions we've had, we need to make sure that this is more Kong heavy than Zilla.
I mean, that wouldn't shock me, because I still think Skull Island is the best of these movies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, personally, I think I enjoyed Kong Skull Island more than the rest of these movies. I think this is my second favorite one in the franchise so far, mostly because it has Mechagodzilla. But so much of this movie is wasted with what they did with King of the Monsters, which is hanging out with Millie Bobby Brown and Kyle Chandler and her friend.
And the rest of the Scooby Gang.
Deadpool and the guy who for 5 years has been both working at Apex and publishing a podcast about how he's working at Apex and spying on them.
Yeah.
And he tells people in his podcast every week, I am spying on this corporation that I work for. And no one knows. Like,
can we just say this from the get-go? Apex is tops in secrecy and worst in security.
They
are able to keep this entire burrowing into the hollow earth an absolute secret.
They have a hyperloop. What the fuck?
They created Tron cycles, you know.
Yes, they did.
And yet this whole gang of teenage kids, or like two teenage kids and a, you know, a doughy podcaster are able to sneak around the entire facility in multiple rooms and still, so.
Two different facilities.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, they are the absolute worst, but I mean, it was funny. You said that you enjoyed Kong Skull Island better. Yeah. And I think Kong Skull Island is a better movie. Yeah. Hands down. I had more fun here.
I see what you're saying.
If you can, you know, that's the distinction. Like, I think there was a lot more action scenes to revisit here that I enjoyed, but on every other level, visually and character wise, all of that, Kong Skull Island was still the tops, but I still enjoyed myself here.
But I think like that, and I think that just goes to the point you made earlier about how maybe this is more Kong heavy simply because Skull Island performed better at the box office. But I think that's a factor of it just being a more fun movie to watch, whereas Godzilla and then is it King of the Monsters? Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just less fun to watch.
Yeah, they're both such slogs.
Yeah.
And then in the first one, he was just like, every time the monsters fight, you know, there's going to be smoke everywhere and you're not going to see anything. And the second one, they're like, every time the monsters fight, it's going to be nighttime and there's ash everywhere.
Ash.
So you can't see anything. I'm like,
can
we just see some monsters punching each other, please?
Why can't they fight during the day? Why are they got to fight at
Kong Skull Island, the skull crawler and Kong are fighting in broad frigging daylight.
Exactly.
It's the middle of the day and it is a great fight.
Yes.
Yeah. And so it really shows you just the two very separate aesthetics and ideas going into these different movies.
Yeah.
And so of course one is going to perform better than the other, but here you have, again, another missed opportunity to sort of build back some goodwill among the Godzilla crowd by focusing your movie a little bit more on Godzilla, but bringing in the fun that Skull Island had.
Yeah. That would have been smart. I agree with that completely.
Yeah,
but it is
a real oversight that they didn't do that.
The fact that just as you said, DM, the fact that they finally learned their lesson from the fighting sequences and had the first one in broad freaking daylight, and even when they decided to do it at night, holy shit!
The most brightly lit city in the world.
Yeah, no,
I have not been to Tokyo, but oh my god, do I want to go?
It was Hong Kong,
Or Hong Kong, if it looks anything like that. If it looks anything like that, I'm there.
It doesn't. This is future Hong Kong.
It looks like a pinball game.
Future Hong Kong from the 80s.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Technology or Michael Mann has gone forward in leaps and bounds since the whole world was blown up in the second movie. They built it back very high tech. Yeah.
Bartolab,
but it looked gorgeous. Every fight scene looked gorgeous. Yeah. I mean, fantastic
looking fights.
Yeah, we got to follow everything. I love some of the inventive ways that they framed these too. Like we got the cockpit shot when he was grabbing a plane from the sky and saw the guy.
Oh, and then the guy. It's just that wonderful scene of him grabbing a plane to throw, and then the guy has to eject from his plane before he gets
so we knew he made it out safely. Meanwhile, Godzilla gets tossed into a building that probably demolished about 1,000 people, you know.
I don't know that they had time to evacuate Hong Kong before that fight started.
Right.
Really was not addressed in the movie.
About the fights, I'm going to criticize this film so much.
Okay.
So, this is a really big Godzilla. Godzilla gets bigger and bigger with every film.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Kong appears to be the same size. I don't think that's right.
Well, no, but I mean, they said in Skull Island that the Kong we saw in that was still a juvenile Kong, and this is a grown-up Kong. So and he had a beard. He's got a beard. He's got some gray going on.
Yeah.
This Kong is like another, like, I would say 30 meters taller than the Kong from Skull Island, because he's still grown up. And then, in fact, in the movie,
he changes sizes in the movie.
Well, I don't know that he changes. You're right. The Kong that goes loping through that tunnel into Hollow Earth is definitely a different size than the Kong that fights Godzilla on the, in Hong Kong. You're right. Yeah. What I was going to say was, it's nice that in the movie we actually see the leg bone of a full grown Kong, because that's what the hilt of his magic axe is. It's the leg bone of a full grown Kong.
And the scale.
The back scale of a full grown Godzilla. Yeah. So apparently, like, the ultimate Kong and the ultimate Godzilla fought each other to death in the past. And this is
the weapon made out of both of them. The scale or the spike, whatever you want to call it, should be bigger than it is. If that's supposed to be from a legendary full grown Godzilla.
It could have been noticeably bigger than Godzilla's scales. That would have helped. You're absolutely right.
No, it should have been bigger than it is in relation to that leg bone.
Yeah, probably.
Assuming it's a femur.
I think it was.
Or it could have been a humerus, which looks like a femur.
I'm learning a lot about bones today.
No, but it would be because he's an ape and he's got really long arms. Anyway.
There you go.
The point is, I felt like I was missing part of the story. Did anybody else feel that watching this movie?
I don't think that's a bad idea.
When did Skull Island get covered by?
Yeah, I was really disappointed.
By the Truman Show.
It is the Truman Show. Why did the Truman Show take ownership
of Skull Island?
Right.
Well, I think it was such a disappointing cop out that it's like we learn all about this fascinating tribe of people who have been on Skull Island since time immemorial.
And then they get wiped out.
Dealing with the lizard. Oh, by the way, off screen, they all got killed by a storm.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, what?
Like the storm that protects Skull Island enveloped, made landfall on Skull Island.
And now is permanently on Skull Island. And that's why they had to build a dome.
Why?
To protect
How does that make sense?
I don't know.
Don't even start down that road about asking about what makes sense.
And then it's like, well, if we didn't have the protective barriers, Kong would leave Skull Island, would he? He hasn't yet. Why would he
And
leave
by
that?
The way, spoiler alert, he doesn't seem to be a great swimmer. So I don't know where he would go.
Really nothing to worry about. And you're certainly not protecting Kong from Godzilla because you don't understand how a Godzilla works.
No. you're right to really focus in on that. Like the rationale of that part is insane. Also insane, the idea later in the movie, they're like, we need Kong off Skull Island so he can lead us to Hollow Earth. And I just want to put my hand up. Not only do you know where Hollow Earth is, you've built a door to Hollow Earth.
You've got an access tunnel to it.
You built a tunnel there.
I feel like I missed something. There's like a whole story there.
I agree. That was one of the things, you know, again.
His brother had worked as a researcher for Apex, and they had built a thing, and then his brother got killed in trying to get there. Figured out a way.
You can't just dump something like that on your audience who have watched all of these films and have been following this journey, I guess.
That was it. I think that was, if I had anything, and again, let's just all agree that the story, trying to get the continuity down on this was, I mean, I didn't even know until afterward that the one guy who was piloting the Mecha Godzilla was actually Ken Watanabe's son.
Yeah.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
I think he's supposed to be. Yeah.
Exactly. Yes. They had the same last name.
They're both Dr. Sarazawa, which is the name of the guy who made the oxygen destroyer in the original Godzilla.
So again, I think the Hollow Earth thing was what a great idea, A. But B, to have this in film 4 introduced to us was a lot to swallow.
Yeah.
You know?
I really do feel like we missed a movie.
That's what I'm saying.
King of the Monsters and this one. You're totally
right. That's
exactly
what I'm saying.
There's a whole movie. No, and I'm saying you're right. There's a whole movie's worth of content just missing.
Yeah.
between these. And it is a disappointment.
Yeah.
What was the
also
other thing
gods that... are Godzilla King Kong.
Yeah.
Way too intelligent.
He's speaking English.
I have such I have nothing invested in King Kong. Very little invested in Godzilla, and I had a massive problem with King Kong in this movie.
Just how but unbelievably
you,
small.
How
Kong
can
is.
You not understand? He had a little girl who was an orphan who was also the last. I loved how they one upped every one of those tropes. It's like, okay, let's have a little girl. No, wait, let's have a little girl and make her an orphan. No, wait. Let's have her make her she's deaf. And oh, let's make her the last of her kind.
Just like Kong is.
Yeah. So top that, aliens. You know.
We're gonna out newt aliens.
Yes.
Boom.
Yes.
I mean, it's impressive. Like, they know they're stealing from the best, I guess.
This whole notion that there was a civilization of Kongs in the Hollow Earth, and I guess they fought Godzilla once upon a time, and they have magic and tool, like, composite tools. Apes use tools. Everybody knows that. But to be able to craft a composite tool like the one he has takes a level of intelligence that just Kong does not possess. And I don't believe that his society, I have such a hard time with it.
Okay. I think my favorite scene in the movie, though, I mean, there's a couple of fun ones, is, so they've gotten to Hollow Earth, right? They go down, they found the place where, Kong, it's the cave of Kong's people, and he's finding the axe, and he turns on the energy power. And so the evil lady, the daughter of the megacorporation.
Oh, Jesus.
Sends out a spider.
Elon
Musk's daughter. Sends out a spider to find out how the electricity works, right? And the woman who's in charge of Kong is like, what are you doing? Are you insane? And I'm like, what? That's literally what you're here to do. You're here to research the thing.
Says the woman.
Wrong.
We're says the woman who brought along an 8-year-old child.
I know! There is nothing wrong with taking a sample of an energy source from a cave made of it. You're not defiling Kong's people. You're just taking a sample of an energy. But the movie acts like she has done the worst possible thing you can do. I'm like, taking a sample of a resource to see if you can exploit it?
Yes.
Well, she's doing it for bad reasons. Though. I mean, we know that. She doesn't. But.
How could she get that back home? I loved when they have that one scene
upload?
Where it's like...
How?
It says downloading,
uploaded,
downloading or uploading, whatever it is.
She uploaded the energy signature.
You have a hell of a Wi-Fi there.
That is used to fuel Godzilla, obviously. And then once you have that energy signature, you can take any electricity and transfer it into Godzilla energy.
No,
I think everyone knows that.
That's not where we have the problem. The problem is... How did that upload happen to begin with?
That's it.
I can walk into corners of my house and lose cell phone reception, but yet you can
she
drill
can get
into
a message
the Earth's core.
Instantaneously with zero lag from the Hollow Earth to Hong Kong.
Right.
Oh, God. And I love that. I got to say, though, I did like that Godzilla's like, wait a minute. I sense Kong in the Hollow Earth. And he just blasts straight down to where Kong is. Like, literally to where Kong is
standing.
That
was really funny.
That was so good.
I really enjoyed that moment.
It's a very funny scene.
There's multiple funny scenes. I remember we're reading where director Adam Weingart, who said he was inspired by a lot of 80s action films, and I love the direct nods to some of them, like The Lethal Weapon when Kong resets his shoulder, or I love that. I loved when he was jumping from the tanker, like Bruce Willis did from Die Hard. I thought those were all, it just felt
they
like
were
fun
callbacks. Yes,
they really were. I enjoyed it. It just felt like it went full 80s. at the, like, the halfway point and didn't look back. And yes, I agree with everything that DM said about, you know, that is the one chunk I'm missing, because this is a lot of exposition that we've had to just kind of, you know, retcon in our minds to make this work. That said, I got exactly what was promised me on the title of this. You know, it was a lot of beautifully done fights in broad daylight and great action. It didn't feel like it descended into a Michael Bay Transformers dick measuring contest between two robots. It had more of a Pacific Rim kind of feel to it.
I mean, is the plot 100%. Gibberish? But the fighting's fun. But as you said, Pacific Rim can give us, like, a coherent plot where you care about what's going on and giant fights.
No, I definitely agree.
It's nowhere near that level, is what I'm saying.
It leaned more toward that than it did Michael Bay. I'm just comparing it on the, you know, the kaiju spectrum or the.
If you have to pick Michael Bay versus I can see your point.
Yeah. Apparently, like, that was the last point.
Those are my only choices. If that is the entire spectrum, it is closer to Pacific Rim than Michael Bay. But it's like, that is a bit of a reach to compare to Pacific Rim.
No, nobody here is saying that the movie doesn't look good and isn't fun to watch. But maybe.
Did it have to be complete nonsense?
Exactly. It's like, you spent so much time making sure the movie looked good. Maybe you could spend a little bit more time making sure it made some kind of sense.
Yeah.
I mean, this film is so, like, weirdly written that it's like, there's literally a scene where right after the attack that Godzilla does on the Mechagodzilla facility, right? So, Millie Bobby Brown, I have no idea what her character name is, and Kyle Chandler, like, goes and she finds her dad at the, you know, the rescue, the disaster relief site, because that's what his job now. Just, you know, like, cleaning up after Godzilla makes a mess is his whole life, basically. All right, so she finds him there, and she's like, listen, there's this podcast that is explaining that Apex is doing shady things, and that's probably what Godzilla has attacked. And he's like, I can't listen to this nonsense. We're busy trying to find out why Godzilla attacked. I'm like, that's what she's talking about.
Like, I can understand why he would sort of shunt that aside or, like, not give her any time, because it's not a great podcast. He's not a good host.
He's not a good host.
He is a crazy person, and he's saying crazy things. And so, like, this guy has good reason to.
You say that, but it's like, he does actually work at Apex, and he did see a room where they were actually building a Mecha Godzilla. So, like,
apparently, he could get into any room.
I feel like that's
Kyle Chandler.
Looking into.
Kyle Chandler, who, poor Kyle, got shuffled back to the dusty corners of the franchise. And must have just, like, fallen asleep in the last one and just woke up in this one for a couple minutes. But I will say, I did enjoy his one line that he had that was kind of a callback to the last one, when he doubted Millie Bobby Brown's Maddie character when she was saying about Godzilla attacking and he would never do that. And he said, oh no, people can change. If people can change, so can monsters. And kind of call back to his wife who, you know, flipped on him. And I just thought, I thought that was a good line. Like, that was a good kind of continuity.
Yeah, I guess what you're saying.
You know?
Yeah. You're not wrong. But, like, the fact that they're uninterested in even looking into it at all really bothered me.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm going to go back to what I said earlier when I fundamentally don't think this, not, and I'm not saying that I understand how Godzilla works, but the movie, doesn't understand how Godzilla works, because I don't remember who says it, but someone's like, oh, Godzilla used to help us.
No. He just likes fighting monsters.
That's not what Godzilla does. He doesn't care about you.
No.
He cares about giant monsters.
That's it.
He wants to fight giant monsters.
Right.
The fact that like he won't attack your city unless there's a giant monster there, and the other giant monsters will attack your city. That's what makes him a quote-unquote good guy. But he doesn't care about the city or the people. He just wants to fight the giant monster.
Yeah. He just wants to be alpha.
Feel like that, just that line really kind of sums up attitudes surrounding Godzilla.
Yeah, I know, I think you're right.
We've moved entirely away from, like, Godzilla's origins, which it's, you know, out of the atomic age, so...
Yeah, now it's all just antediluvian stuff. Like, before the flood, the world was covered in giant beasts.
Yes, yes.
You know?
maybe a missed opportunity to bring some of that back in. Because his first attack wasn't on Mechagodzilla. It was on the factory building parts for Mechagodzilla.
Yeah.
Mechagodzilla, he hadn't attacked Hong Kong yet. So there was still a little bit of this sort of, like... I don't know, atomic panic, I guess. Or I suppose now it'd be nuclear panic. But the movie just, like, it's incidental.
Well, it's interesting because they
even have that theme going on.
Well, it's interesting because they tried to do that in the previous, in like the first Godzilla movie and make it about Fukushima. Right? Like, the whole first thing was about the anxiousness about nuclear power led to Godzilla was the theme of the first of these new Godzilla movies. But then when they started with, you know, Skull Island and Monarch getting into, like, the history of monsters, they threw away any real-world implications or themes and just decided to do their own completely separate
thing. And I'm happy to watch two monsters fight, don't get me wrong, but at the same time, it's like, you reintroduced this element and didn't even realize what you were doing.
Yeah.
I think they just had two, almost polar opposite type of films. And
that they wanted to do, yeah.
Right, right. And, that they had for origins, for source. Mm-hmm. And the Skull Island, minus the, you know, we're going to put aside Peter Jackson's version, but Skull Island was a one and done that was just artfully done and beautiful and funny. And then once that was a success, someone's like, I have an idea. And decided to kind of, you know, mesh these two together, which it just didn't. The first two Godzilla had no kind of reference to this. There was no build up to this. And then to drop in all of these incredible elements that we see with Hollow Earth it had to be a daunting task at best. That would have been about a 4-hour, you know, Peter Jackson movie anyway. So.
Well, there is a credit in the film, and it was, I think, Monsterverse Mythology or something like that. And there was one guy whose job it was to come up with all of this Monsterverse backstory.
Yeah, he got the job.
I gotta say, that's a pretty good job.
After he left the DC universe, he went.
Yes, that's true. That's probably how it worked.
But if you introduce all this stuff about King Kong's heritage.
Yeah.
And origins, it begs the question, where does Godzilla spend his time between attacks?
I think he just hangs out underwater.
His heels in the Hollow Earth.
No, I think he's just drifting around the oceans, waiting for giant monsters to show up.
But this is the issue. This is part of the problem with the movie. It focuses so heavily on Kong, we don't get anything for Godzilla. And, I think it would kind of ruin Godzilla if we did, but at the same time, it can't be so one-sided.
Yeah.
Have to find a way to balance that out.
I see your point.
Yeah.
For a Kong versus Godzilla movie, Godzilla versus Kong movie, it is weird how focused on Kong it is. You should at least get a little, because you're right. It's not like we get a sense that there's people out there studying and trying to figure out Godzilla the way they're obsessed with Kong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm like, spoiler alert, it's not hard to figure out what's going on with Kong. He's just a big ape. He just wants to hang out and eat food. You know, like he's just.
And listen to oldies.
Obviously listen to oldies. But he's just like, fundamentally, Kong is not a complicated guy.
Yeah.
he doesn't want to become the alpha. He doesn't like, I've got to figure out. And I mean, he, in a sense, does the hero's journey reluctant to take up the mantle of so-and-so. And only at the end of the movie does he truly become King Kong. I know. Like, they try to do a little hero's journey.
Who built his fucking throne?
I know, the Kong throne!
Who built that?
Who built the Kong throne? Is the question we're going to be asking for a lot of years
to
come.
Who built any of that crap?
I know.
But I mean, the answer is aliens, but they're not going to say that.
I still think this, I mean, this all still kind of funnels back to my theory that, you know, the once they saw the box office receipts and the audience reaction from their Kong film versus their two Godzilla films, they said, okay, we've got to pour more sand into the Kong bucket than we do the Godzilla bucket.
Yeah.
But your comment about DC a moment ago, it feels like the same thing here. DC saw the success Marvel was having, failed completely to recreate that for themselves, went off in a different direction, hired a guy who was the absolute wrong choice to helm that project, and then way too late tried to make a huge course correction.
Well,
and I think all of that is present in this movie.
Remember the MonsterVerse was supposed to be even larger than that with the Mummy, and that was ill-fated as well. Yeah. And then the Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah.
But So, you know, I think this was probably scrapped and patched together with whatever they could and create that because they knew that there was the setup of a Kong versus Godzilla in 64 or 65, whenever that one came out.
Yeah.
And they knew that that's what the audience was clamoring for. So instead of building up one more Godzilla that kind of introduced us to this world that would somehow bring them together, they're like, all right, look, we got to give the audience what they're clamoring for, and we'll give them the money shot early.
Yeah. Well, at least they didn't make the mistake you did with Justice League, which is like halfway through Justice League. Well, no, but deciding... You know what this Justice League movie should be? You know the movie The Justice League, which is about the Justice League? Yeah?
Yeah.
What if it was actually a cyborg solo movie?
There you go. Exactly.
Doesn't that seem like that would be a huge waste of time when the stuff Cyborg is going through has nothing to do really with the plot of the movie and, like, the themes are not in any way compatible? Like, the themes of him trying to figure out and, like, you would have to do so much more work to make that... because it's like, on one side, you could have made the themes paralleled if he was as obsessed with impressing his father as Steppenwolf is with impressing Darkseid, but he just hates everybody and is mad and kind of a dick all the time.
Right.
So it doesn't even work as an emotional connection. And at least they didn't do that here, where they're like, we'll try and fit like 4 hours worth of content into doing all sorts of backstories for all the different characters. At least they didn't get too bloated the way Justice League does.
Yeah.
Whereas this one, I mean, you're right that there should have been either, and I know this is weird, either more Godzilla or less Kong.
Less Kong, obviously. And treat Godzilla with the respect he deserves.
Absolutely.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay. All right. I was just thinking about how weird it is to just compare it to Freddy versus Jason, where... Like, it's how, like, Jason kills more people, but he's clearly in a competition between the two of them, a good guy.
Right.
Yeah, like, if you compare Freddy versus Jason, we know who you want to win that fight. It's not complicated. Whereas in this one, it's kind of strange because, like, Godzilla hurts more people, I guess.
But, I definitely want Godzilla to win.
But you also want Godzilla to win, and I think this is clear... Kong just hangs out on an island all the time. Godzilla, for better or for worse, is out there killing the monsters that endanger humanity.
No.
Like, whether he kills
that
or not.
He's not killing the monsters that endanger humanity. He's killing the monsters that endanger the Earth, which is his home.
Yeah, no, that's true. No, but I'm saying, for our purposes, it's actually helpful.
You're phrasing it the way the movie
like he's
did,
doing us
which
a favor.
Is
I know.
Wrong.
He's not doing us a favor. You're absolutely right. It is completely he doesn't care at all that we're on Earth. He just doesn't like giant monsters.
We've always had a complicated relationship in the mythology of it, at least. If you follow the narrative of Godzilla, he goes, it depends on the movie, but he'll go from hero to villain. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Whereas in this one, I think if they had really dug into it, and as you said, given us some more of Godzilla's story and like the history of Godzilla, the audience would be able to get that it's like, no, he doesn't care about us. We don't matter to him. He just likes killing monsters.
He wants to be alpha.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like they say that a couple of times, but they don't really get into it in a way that I think would have been satisfying.
Yeah.
Especially as you said, when they spend so much time with Kong.
And they just, why does this guy think his Mechagodzilla is a good idea?
It's a good question, I guess. Wow.
Like, because he built it to kill Godzilla.
Yeah.
He didn't have a mustache to twirl.
That's true. he just thought it was really important that, like, humanity stand up for itself.
Why? I can't, like, someone please explain to me why. Whenever Godzilla attacks, they, like, launch their fighters. It's like, how many times
does Godzilla have to swat planes out of the sky?
Fail at this to realize
fighters aren't going to get the job done.
Yes.
Well, as I was watching the movie, I'm like, you know, in this world, Godzilla's been around for like 10 years and they're still flying planes within like 100 meters of Godzilla.
Right.
You know, you can fire those missiles from 8 kilometers away.
It's still not going to work. It doesn't matter why are you wasting resources on this?
That's like saying maybe this raptor fence will keep them in.
This is the definition of insanity.
Yes. No, or eternal optimism.
Right.
Well, I want to point out that in their defense, in the American Godzilla, firing a bunch of missiles at Kong did get the job done.
That's Kong.
No, Godzilla.
You said firing a bunch of missiles.
Oh, sorry, Kong. Sorry, yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, in the American Godzilla from 1998.
Yeah, but that was they a did dinosaur. Just have
to, that's true. That was just a giant dinosaur. That wasn't a Titan.
And he got his ass kicked by Godzilla.
Roderick, largely. So, yeah, not really the high point of the franchise, sadly.
Here's what I will say, is just wish it would have been really cool if they ended... Like, they freeze-framed the two of them jumping up and high-fiving each other.
Yes, yeah. Like the end of Rocky 3.
That would have been awesome.
The montage at the end, the training montage in Rocky 3.
Yes.
Where they high-five on a beach.
Yes.
I think, if I give it a bit more thought, though, I probably would have preferred the robot jocks fist bump.
Oh, there you go.
Fist bump would have worked.
That's a good, that would work.
No, there's a moment, and this is what I said, when I was watching it, literally, there's a moment at the end of the movie where Mechagodzilla's dead, and, you know, King Kong is just flopped over and leaning on a building. And I'm like, it would be great right now if, like, Godzilla just sat down beside Kong.
And they lit up.
Pulled out a cigarette.
Something,
yeah.
like fist bump, share a beer, take a breath. Shit. Just, like, the knowing eye look. Just something.
Hong Kong, am I right?
Yeah. But the one thing I like about the movie is that the one bit of character we get from Godzilla is that he's not actually driven to kill things. He just wants everybody to know that he's the best. And right. So, like, all of the other monsters aren't capable. They either have too much ego or don't have enough brain to just say, okay, Godzilla, you win.
Right.
But Kong is capable of saying, okay, you win. And then Godzilla just goes away.
He's capable of signing it.
Yeah, exactly.
Godzilla won't understand it, but...
Right, right.
But I do like the idea that, no, like, Godzilla just wants to win. He doesn't even need to kill or eat things.
Yeah.
If another monster's like, okay, you win, you're the strongest, Godzilla's like, fine. I'm not, you know, I'm just gonna go now.
Yeah, I'm peacing out.
I kind of respect that. I was sad that there weren't a ton of other Kongs in Hollow Earth.
That was sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, so now he's in Hollow Earth, but he's alone just punching winged cobras.
And jumping from surface to surface.
Yeah.
With some unexplained light source in there.
Well, yep. I mean, the whole place is radioactive, so.
Geothermal.
Right,
okay. Geothermal light, exactly.
Right,
yes.
Right.
Like, but if the whole place had been lit by, like, giant glowing mushrooms and whatnot, I'd have accepted that. But it's clearly, like, daylight in there.
No, yeah, there are, like, sun. There are, yeah, there's, like, dawn light in a lot of that. But,
yeah.
And I do like, I like that Hollow Earth concept, and I wish that it could have been introduced in a film earlier than this, so that...
I would watch a movie about the hunt for and discovery of Hollow Earth.
Yeah.
Oh, totally.
And then contending with all the monsters.
Well, it's called Journey to the Center of the Earth. It stars The Rock, and it's...
Oh, retcon that into the franchise.
Right.
I mean,
right.
I'm sure The Rock's available. He'll be in anything else. So, yeah. You know, I think that'd be great.
Sure.
All right. So final thoughts on Kong v. Godzilla.
I mean, fun to watch, but ultimately deeply flawed.
Yeah. Rob?
Yeah. I felt like, you know, it was a massive retcon of two vastly different franchises, and they did the best they could with it, but I had a lot of fun watching it. It's still not the best of any of the MonsterVerse, but it was fun.
I will say this, my final thought is obviously Godzilla beats Kong, but I would remind everyone that, like, the thing was Godzilla and Kong in the water, Godzilla takes it easily. Godzilla and Kong on land, Godzilla takes it easily. Godzilla versus Kong with a magic axe.
Mm-hmm.
Godzilla's still gonna take that, but he's gonna have to work for it. And if any of these, if they hadn't designed Godzilla so he doesn't have, and this is what I hate about the modern Godzilla redesign, he doesn't have arms to punch with and grab things with.
Yeah.
He's got these tiny little arms, and I'm like, no, you gotta have those big beefy Godzilla arms so he can punch and grab people and do wrestling moves on them. That is what we want out of our Kong. And I'm saying, if this Godzilla had those great big 70s, punching arms, Kong would have just been crushed.
Yeah.
Like, he wouldn't have had a chance.
No doubt.
Just that is the rule. All right. So before we go, do you have any narcissism you would like to watch?
No.
Oh. Disappointed.
Yeah.
Rob, anything we should be looking out for?
No, I'm still writing reviews at Film Threat, so you can find me there.
Okay. Well, that will be wonderful. For me, you know, the usual Hidden Object Guru, Profile in Criminal Minds, check that stuff out. Is there any other way to get in touch with us, though?
You can visit the AVODs blog at theavod.com. You can stream old episodes there. Leave us a comment and tell us about your favorite SmackDown movie that actually involves a giant monster fight. You can send us an email at theavod@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and if you're listening on an app, rate and review and subscribe.
All right. I'm going to encourage you to do all of those things. Until next time, I've been Count Vargelon.
I've been DM.
And I've been the special guest.
Thanks for watching, and have yourselves a great evening.
Good night.
Bye.